Go ahead and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, I'll be reading verses 8 through 18. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 18. Finally, be ye all like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but contrariwise blessing. For hereunto were ye called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they may speak no guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears unto their supplication, but the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be zealous of that which is good? But even if ye should suffer for righteousness' sake, blessed are ye, and fear not their fear, neither be troubled. But sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that wherein ye are spoken against, they may be put to shame who revile your good manner of life in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God should so will, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Because Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit.
So we notice here that Peter says, in verse 9, you should inherit a blessing. And in verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears unto their supplication. Notice down at verse 18, it says that Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. There's a certain truth to the saying that the strong need to encourage the weak. We see many times that the people that hear many of the messages are those that we consider the sort of the cream of the crop. And the people that really need the messages of the gospel are those that don't appear to be paying attention. They don't appear to be here to listen to the word. They don't appear to be many times studying the word of God. And it's important for us as strong Christians to teach others exactly how important it is for us to understand what our lives are about on this earth and the one to come. So it says, as I mentioned in verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears unto their supplication. And so we need to look at, I think, things that I've called the rewards of the faithful. We realize that there are degrees of faithfulness that even among those that would consider themselves faithful, that even they aren't equal. Let me try to say that better by using the scriptures. Matthew the 13th chapter in verses 18 through 23. Here we see that Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower. And when he says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one and snatcheth away that which has been sown in his heart. This is he that was sown by the wayside. And he that was sown by the rocky places, this is he that heareth the word and straightway with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, straightway he stumbleth. And he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who verily beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Lessons on faithfulness and dedication, attendance, giving, doing what's right, though needed by all, are many times heard by just the cream, though it's the faithless that need it the most. And I'm wondering why I can't see my screen here. It's because I have the wrong glasses on. Yes. I knew it was there. So we need to understand when we examine ourselves as to whether we have a reason for the faith that we have. We as the faithful, those that are faithful, have to ask themselves, what reason do I have for the hope that I have within me? And do I have a hope within me? Of course, we can look at 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in verses 15 and 16, where Peter says, "But sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that wherein ye are spoken against, they may be put to shame who revile your good manner of life in Christ." And so the idea here is that we understand that there are people that are referred to as faithful, those that bear fruit. We see that it talks about those that bear fruits, bear some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. We see that the Lord's eyes are upon the righteous. We see that people will inherit a blessing. we see that His ears are unto their supplication. And we see that Jesus died to bring us to God. And so all of those things sound like that are things that we want. In other words, these are things that we might consider to be rewards. And so let's look at rewards and those that are faithful, the rewards that they may or may not get, depending on how we look at it. So first of all, we want to ask ourselves, are rewards promised? If we look in just the English version of the New Testament, we see that the English word reward is used 25 times, at least in the American Standard Version. Now, that word reward is translated from four different Greek words, and that's used about 74 times in the New Testament. So we see that even though we have Greek words that are translated reward, they're not translated reward all the time. But this Greek word, misthos, of the 25 occurrences, it occurs 21 times. And so the English word reward is translated from this particular Greek word. And Strong, in his concordance and his dictionary of New Testament words, says that it is to pay for services, literally or figuratively, whether good or bad. So the idea here is that there is something called a reward. We can see that it's used many times in the New Testament, and it appears to be a pay for services, whether those services are good or bad. If we look at Matthew, the 16th chapter, and verse 27, Matthew, the 16th chapter, and verse 27, Jesus says here, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then shall He render unto every man according to his deeds." And when we look at this phrase, according to his deeds, we understand it is this particular word, Greek word misthos, and we could shorten that, according to his deeds, to reward. In other words, he shall reward every man according to his deeds. In Isaiah also, there is a similar discussion about this, though obviously it's not the same Greek word because the Old Testament wasn't written in Greek. But in Isaiah, the 3rd chapter and verse 10, it says, "Say ye of the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings." And so in both instances, we can see that according to the things that we do in our lives, we will receive something. So in Matthew, the 16th chapter, it says that God will render to every man according to his deeds. And in Isaiah, it says he talks about the righteous, that they'll eat of the fruit of their doings. So in both instances, we see that the writer is saying here that that they have a reward, or they receive something because of the things that they have done. Now, when we look at that, we certainly have an understanding then that there are rewards mentioned in the New Testament. But are those something that we should be seeking after? Are those something that we should be concerned about? We see that there's a reward mentioned. Is that something we're supposed to be striving after or running after or trying to get all the time? So if we if we think about what the apostles' relationship was with Jesus, we can understand that the apostles were concerned about the rewards that they would receive, and that the Lord was understanding about that. If you look at Matthew, this 19th chapter, and verses 27 through 30, they asked, what then shall we have? And and starting at verse 27, it says, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Lo, we've left all and followed thee. What then shall we have? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath left houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit eternal life. But many shall be last that are first, and first that are last." And so the apostles here asked, what shall we have? Because we've left everything and followed you. And ultimately, he says, you shall inherit eternal life. That's a reward that we can look forward to, but it's also a reward that we should seek. Perhaps some might think that it's a bit presumptuous of us to think that God has promised eternal life or promised this or that or something else, and that we should be seeking after it, like we're seeking money or something like that. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus tells them, when they ask, what shall we have, he ultimately tells them that they shall have eternal life. And that's something worth looking for, worth seeking and going after. And of course, in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and at verse 33, he says, "But seek ye first his kingdom." So he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so it's not improper then for us to think that we should seek after the rewards that have been placed in front of us. And we can look at that in two different ways, of course. We can we can look at seeking rewards in a good way, or we can look at seeking rewards in a bad way. And of course, just as I briefly alluded to just a second ago, we might end up seeking money, and therefore that becomes our love. And so that's a reward perhaps that we would seek after, but it could be wrong, it could be evil. We need to look at things like that. We need to desire the proper things. But if we seek after rewards, we understand that they could be that we're looking for the wrong rewards. And so if we look at James, the 4th chapter, in verses 1 through 4, we see that James here talks about the fact that you ask amiss. So starting in verse 1 of James, the 4th chapter, it says, "Whence come wars and whence come fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your pleasures that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and covet and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may spend it in your pleasures. Ye adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world maketh himself an enemy of God." And so we see that there are things that we could strive after, but in this instance we see that we're striving after things that for which we ask amiss. We're striving after things for which we want to spend it in our pleasures. And so when we do seek the rewards, we need to understand that we need to seek the proper rewards. We need to seek the good rewards, not to seek things that we'll spend in our pleasures. We do need then to understand rewards. Who will give the rewards? And so, obviously, there are two categories that the giving of rewards falls into or is left with. And, of course, there are rewards that are given by men. Now, these are not necessarily to be desired. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, and verses 2, 5, and 16, we see here that we see about the rewards that are given by men, and this has to do with those people that will stand around on the street corners and want to be seen of men for the things that they're doing. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, starting in verse 2, "When therefore thou doest alms, sound not a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward." So we see here that these people have received a reward, but the reward that they receive is the glory of men. Now we're looking for something different, I think. And in verse 5 it says, "And when you pray, ye shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be," once again, "seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward." In verse 16, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may be seen of men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward." And so there are rewards that we can seek out there. But if we seek the rewards that are mentioned, as Jesus mentions here in Matthew, the 6th chapter, then we're not seeking the rewards of the faithful. We're seeking the rewards that lead to the pleasures of this earth, the rewards which we seek, as James says, we seek amiss. And so in Acts, the 18th chapter also, we can see rewards that are given by men. Of course, this has to do with the ultimate end of Judas after he hanged himself. It says, "Now this man obtained a field with the reward of his iniquity, and falling headlong he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out." Not a reward, I think, that we would desire. So when we look at this, we understand that many times rewards that are given by men are, that's it. They're temporal rewards that don't lead to anything. And of course, this last gruesome one in Acts 8, first chapter is one, obviously, that we don't want to emulate. But if we look at those rewards in the second category that are given by God, we can understand that they are given and they are to be desired because they're given by God. And so we have a couple of instances in which they're given from God for those that, excuse me, that those that love their brethren and those that love all men. If we look in, as we look at those that are given by God, we understand that they're to be desired. And in Matthew, the 6th chapter and verse 1, we talk about the reward from the Father. In Matthew, the 6th chapter and verse 1, "Take heed that you do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them, else you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." Now see, we see a contrast to the other verses that were mentioned in Matthew, the 6th chapter, in 2, 5, and 16. But here, Jesus is talking in verse 1 as he leads into these passages that we've just looked at, that the reward needs to be with the Father, not with men. And so, in contrast here, he says, "Don't do your righteousness before men to be seen of them, else you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." And the reward that we want is with the Father, not with men. In Revelation, the 22nd chapter, in verse 12, notice that Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to each man according as his work is." Now here, of course, we see that it could be either way. If we are of those people that seek the glory of men and spend it in our pleasures and such alike as that, if he is rendering to each man according as his work is, we understand if we are working bad things, then our reward is not going to be good. And if we are if we are working the proper things that God has spelled out for us, then it says, "My reward is with me." In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and in verse 6, it talks about the fact that God is a rewarder. And so, without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. And that kind of sums up essentially everything we've been talking about up until this time. The fact of the matter is that God is a rewarder. And he will reward to men good things for those that seek after him. But notice at the beginning of the verse, it says, without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing to Him. The idea, however, is that when he talks about faith is impossible to be well-pleasing to Him, we understand that with faith, it is possible to be well-pleasing to Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of them that seek after Him. So we need to make sure that we are seeking the reward. It's not wrong, then, for us to see a reward ahead of us and to seek after it, because God says that that's what we should do. So we understand that there are rewards given by men, rewards given by God. Some are bad, some are good. We need to understand that rewards are something that everyone will get in one way or another. But who will receive those awards, the rewards, I should say? who will receive the rewards from men? Of course, men will give rewards to those people that they want to honor. And of course, once again, we can look at Matthew, the sixth chapter, and in those verses that we read there, verses 2, 5, and 16, that talks about the fact that their glory is of men. And their glory is to be seen of men. And they have received their reward. And so the reward that they've received is here on this earth. And it is not the reward that we ultimately want. So the people that receive rewards from men will be those that men want to honor, or it'll be those that they want to punish. So we always see that reward, by the definition of the term, could be something that you get for what you've done as opposed to something you obtain for what you've done. kind of like the difference between grace and mercy, that it's the opposite of those. But if we look at the fact that men will give rewards to those that they want to punish, we can see in Luke the 23rd chapter in verses 39 through 41 that as the two thieves were hanging on the cross next to Jesus, one of them said that they were receiving the due reward for the deeds that they've done. In Luke the 23rd chapter, starting in verse 39, and one of the malefactors that were hanged railed on him, saying, Art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuking him said, Dost thou not even fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. We see then that this man, one of the men on the cross, acknowledges that he's received a reward, but it's certainly not a reward that we would want. And so when we look at the reward that Judas received as his bowels gushed out, or this man, the reward that he received as he was nailed to the cross, this is not something, certainly, that we want. And this here, this Greek word that is used to translate the phrase due reward is the one that's the most common Greek word that's sometimes translated reward. So it's used 41 times in the New Testament, and in one place right here, it's translated due reward. At other times, though, it's translated as deserving or comparable or suitable, as if drawing praise. However, we understand that when this man on the cross said that we're receiving the due reward for our deeds, that he understood that they got what they deserved, or that this was suitable for the things that they had done. Well, so we will receive rewards from men, but we can understand that we'll also receive rewards from God. Those that receive rewards from God, are those who love everyone, who love their brethren, and who love all men. If we look at Mark, the 9th chapter, in verse 41, Mark 9, 41, here it says, For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink, because ye are Christ's, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So we see the kindness that's given here by somebody that gives a cup of water to a person because you are Christ, that there is a reward to be obtained there because you have the kind of kindness that Jesus wants you to have. Also in Luke, the 6th chapter, in verses 35 and 36, Jesus says, "But love your enemies and do them good, and lend, never despairing, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be sons of the Most High, for He is kind toward the unthankful and evil. Be ye merciful, even as your Father is merciful." And so, what we want to do then is understand that we need to be like God our Father. It says to be merciful even as your Father is merciful. And so, emulating God, emulating Jesus, is the things that we need to do in order to receive rewards from God. Also, those who will receive rewards from God are those who work in the kingdom of God. Obviously, if we don't work in the kingdom, then there's no promise for us, no reward for us through the kingdom. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, in verses 7 through 9, it talks about being fellow workers. Paul starts in verse 7, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, but each shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, ye are God's husbandry, God's building." Now notice once again, when we look at the positive rewards that are discussed, once again it has to do with laboring, with working. And so we have here according to his own labor, and talking about God's fellow workers. And so we work along with God. That's what a fellow worker is, a person that you work alongside of. And so we are the people that work alongside God, it says, as God's husbandry, as God's building. And we will receive rewards according to our labor. In 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, and verse 18, it talks about the laborer being worthy of his hire. And so Paul says, starting in verse 17, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in teaching. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his hire." Once again, we're talking about labor, but here we're talking about laboring in word and in teaching. And so those things need to be done in order to receive reward from God, because those workers in the kingdom of God are those that are doing this. The laborer is worthy of his hire. And then in 2 John verses 6 through 8, 2 John verses 6 through 8, we'll see that those that abide in the teaching of God will receive the reward. In 2 John verses 6 through 8, I think I'm just starting in verse 7 here. 2 John, starting in verse 7. It says, "For many deceivers are gone forth into the world, even they that confess not that Jesus cometh in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Look to yourselves that ye lose not the things which we have wrought, but that ye receive a full reward. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son." And so we see both the reward and, you might say, the punishment here in these few verses. The fact that we don't want to lose the things that we have worked for. In other words, when the American Standard says that you lose not the things which we have wrought. In other words, the things that we've done in this life, we don't want to lose them, because we want to make sure that we don't turn away from God. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teachings of Christ, that person doesn't have God. We need to abide in the teaching. That person that does that has both the Father and the Son. So God will give rewards to those that work the way that He wants them to, who love all that are about them, that love the brethren and all men, and those that work in the kingdom of God. But why will God give rewards? Probably number one is because it's been promised. God promised rewards to those that were faithful to Him. If we look in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, in verse 2, we see here that the writer of the Hebrew letter talks about a recompense of reward. Now, this is from on the bad side. "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." We see here that as we look in the context, we're talking about the fact that people have not done things right. It says every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. And so we see that the term reward is used to talk about recompense, or talking about people that do transgression and people that are disobedient to God. So they receive a reward, but much like those people that stood praying in Matthew the 6th chapter so that they could be seen of men, they've received their reward, but in this instance, the reward that they will receive from God will not be a good one. But it will be a reward, you might say. But in Hebrews the 10th chapter, and in verses 34 through 36, we see once again that the phrase recompense of reward is used. Starting in verse 34, "For ye both had compassion on them that were in bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your possessions, knowing that ye have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Cast not away therefore your boldness, which hath great recompense and reward. For ye have need of patience, that, having done the will of God, ye may receive the promise." Now we see here that we receive a reward that has come through a promise that God has made. So we see in verse 36 that you can receive the promise. And up in verse 35, it talks about a recompense of reward, or being given a reward for the things that you have done. And then also in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and in verses 24 through 27, we also see the phrase recompense of reward. By faith, it says in verse 24, "Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." And so we see here that it talks about the fact that Moses saw, as it were, the invisible God, because he realized that there would be a recompense of reward. In other words, he would be rewarded for the things that he had done that were in accordance with God's will. So God gives rewards because it's been promised. And we see that indeed at the end of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in verse 36, where he says that he may receive the promise. Very important for us to remember. And so God will give rewards because of that. But we need to ask then, well then, what will these rewards be? I mean, we've looked through and we've seen where we talk about rewards that are good and rewards that are bad and things that we seek after and such alike as that. But ultimately, what is the reward? And so if we look at Mark the 10th chapter in verses 28 through 30, we understand that there will be rewards in this time and in the world to come. So this Mark 10, 28 through 30 is sort of a summary of what we're going to talk about in the next couple of minutes. It says, "Peter began to say unto him," that this is to Jesus, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life." Now we see the first time what the reward indeed is. It talks about the fact that we'll receive 100-fold in this time these things. Now this is not necessarily talking about temporal things, but it's talking about mostly about relationships. When it talks about houses, we're talking about essentially households, brethren and sisters and mothers and children with lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. So in this life, of course, we understand that we will receive relationships with people that are of like common faith or like precious faith. Matthew, the 12th chapter, and verses 46 through 50, talks about Jesus, and starting in verse 46 says, "While he was yet speaking to the multitude, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, seeking to speak to him. And one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, seeking to speak to thee. But he answered and said unto them, unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hands toward his disciples, and said, Behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. And so that's something we want to receive in this life, and we shall, and we do. And we understand that we are all to one another, brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. And that's important for us to understand that in this life we do receive something, you might say, tangible. We receive people that are of like precious faith. We'll have many relatives, and they'll all be of a like precious faith with us, as we see in 2 Peter, the first chapter and verse 1. And then in Acts, the fourth chapter and verse 32, we see the relationship that the people who were in the church that had just begun on Acts, the second chapter, we see in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them said that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And so that's the relationship, essentially, that he's developing here about what our reward in this life will be, is that we receive these relationships with other people, and that we are the kind that share what we've got because we love one another and give to those that need and receive from those that will give to us when we have need. And so the rewards in this life are things that we can see, but they're not stacks of money and cars and things like that that some would have you believe, but they're more relationships, not only with God and with Jesus, but with the people that are of a like precious faith. But also the reward in that to follow, in the life to follow. Look at John, the fifth chapter and verse 24. Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath eternal life and cometh not into judgment, but hath passed out of death into life. And so we see a reward that's obtained there. That's eternal life. And we come not into judgment. And we've passed out of death into life. That's important for us to remember, because too often we have a tendency to fear death. And we certainly all do, I think, to a certain extent. But we need to understand that we will pass out of death into life. Too many people in this world, I think that we pass out of death into death, and that's it. You know, that's all there is. We, though, need to understand that the reward that follows after this life will be eternal life. In John, the sixth chapter and verse 40, once again, we have eternal life. And this says, For this is the will of my Father, that every one that beholdeth the Son and believeth on him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We then will be raised up at the last day and receive eternal life as a reward for being faithful. In John, the 10th chapter, and verse 28 again, talks about eternal life. Jesus says, And I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. They shall never perish. That's important for us to remember, that eternal life means forever. They shall never perish. And then finally, in Romans, the second chapter, in verses 5 through 7, we see also about glory, honor, and eternal life. Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 5, God, who will render to every man according to his works, to them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. Those people that seek after that will receive, or that seek for glory and honor and incorruption, they'll receive eternal life. So we see in all of these things that discuss about what the rewards will be in the life to follow, we understand that it all has to do with eternal life. It doesn't have to do with living in a mansion with stacks of money and a bunch of Maseratis to drive around. It has to do with receiving life that is eternal with God. The important thing for us to remember is that. And being the frail humans that we are, I think it's difficult many times for us to keep that in mind, that we realize that there are so many things on this earth of a temporal nature that keep us occupied, to keep us interested, or that we lust after, that it's difficult for us to then to keep our minds on the things of eternity. But we need to understand that we need to properly seek the rewards of the faithful. If we look at 1 John, the 5th chapter and verse 11, it sort of concludes the whole thing by saying, as John says, "And the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." We haven't spent a lot of time looking to see exactly who the life is through, but it is indeed through Jesus Christ that we receive eternal life, because when we follow the commandments of God and we go to Jesus Christ and understand that He's our Savior and commit our lives to Him and to God and receive this eternal life, this promise of eternal life in the life to follow, we understand that that is the reward that we will receive and that it is in His Son. Hopefully I have put together something that will at least cause you to think about the things that we need to understand about this life as compared to the way that most other people perhaps live their lives. That we need to be faithful in the things that we do, and that if we are faithful to God and we are in His Son, that we will receive the rewards of the faithful, and that reward in the life after this one is eternal life. And so, of course, that leads us at the end to understand and ask the question, then, what must I do to be saved? And, of course, we understand that we need to hear the Word of God, Romans 10:18. We need to believe in that Word, Romans the 10th chapter and verse 11. And we need to repent of our sins. In other words, we need to turn around from the things that we've been doing. In other words, we need to seek the things that are the right things, that we need to seek the reward that God has placed before us as a good reward to seek after. And we have to turn around from the evil that we've done. We need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. We need to be immersed in water or baptized for the remission of our sins. Peter said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So, as we think about the rewards of the faithful, we need to understand that we can be considered faithful if we will do these things that we've just gone through here on these last couple of slides and do the things that are required for us to be saved. If you haven't done those things, then God's promises are not for you. God has shown that the promises, the rewards that we can receive are for those people who will be faithful to Him. And those people then will receive the eternal life that hopefully they desire very much. And so at this time, we hope that you will decide what you want to do with your life. If you haven't followed these steps that I've mentioned in what one needs to do to be saved, to hear the Word, to believe in the Word, to repent of your sins, to confess, and to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. If you haven't done those things, you need to do it. You need to become the kind of person that God wants you to be so that you can receive the reward that He wants to give you. If you have done that and you've fallen by the wayside and haven't done and haven't abided in the things that you need to, then your reward can be in jeopardy. You don't want that to be the case. So if we can help you by immersing you in water for the remission of your sins or praying for you or helping you in any way as a Christian, we hope that you'll let that be known while we stand and sing this song.